a little bit about us and what we have to offer. If you're looking at your bulletin, you'll find a yellow slip in there. And this serves two purposes. Do I have a yellow slip? I do. Oh, Dale's holding it up. Yellow slip. If you have a yellow slip, this serves two purposes. One side, you'll find a spot for your name and address and your contact information, and we hope that you fill that out and drop it in the offering plate. The other side is a spot for a prayer request. If you want to share your prayer request with the congregation this morning, you can fill out that side and pass it to the ushers later on in the service, and we'll let you know when that happens. The bulletin gives you a brief order of worship, abbreviated order of worship. If you want a more in-depth version, you can use the QR code on the bottom of the bulletin, or it's posted on at the entrances as well. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then just ignore me. It's not that important. Okay. If you're in need of restrooms or child care, you can look to the ushers for directions for that, or you can find both through this door. After the service, we'll have a time for gathering and conversation in the gathering room. We have drinks, lemonade, coffee, water, and sometimes a cookie or some vegetables or something like that. So join us out there for some conversation. And then also, just a reminder to all parents, we have a safe sanctuary policy, so we encourage you always to be with your child when you're in the building. And now let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning, and this is a time for our hymn sing in the summers. So you get to have a voice and select what hymns you would like to hear. If you look, we have a slide that says which hymns we've already sung this summer, so we'd like to try to sing something new. Please raise your hand if you haven't gotten to request already, or if it was a really long time ago that you requested. Yes. 451. 451. Be thou my vision. 521. I want Jesus to walk with me. Seven eleven. For all the saints.
for one more.
Yes, Angela?
191. 191. Let's see what that is.
I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. I am honored to say I am the pastor here at this church, and I wanted to share a big warm welcome to each and every one of you here. You may have noticed some scurrying around this morning. That's because as of 10:29, both the PowerPoint and computer weren't working, and our main sound system wasn't working. And then the stroke of 10:30, it all worked. Really interesting stuff. All right, so before I get into my intro, I wanted to bring your attention to this in your bulletin. We, on Labor Day weekend, that Sunday, we're going to have a hymn sing Sunday. Yes! So what we'll need you to do is write down your name, the hymn number that you want sung, and the hymn name, and then why you picked it. And then we're going to ask you to put it into the offering plate today, and next week we'll do the same, and we're going to try to organize them a little bit. So, very, very exciting. I can't wait for a whole day of hymn sings. Is anyone else as excited as me? A couple of you. Okay, good. I see heads nodding and hands raising. Great. Well, our worship series is titled, Why Wesley? John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And as many of you know, last month I spent 2 weeks in Manchester, England, taking a course entitled, The Wesleyan Tradition in the 21st Century Context. John Wesley believed in personal piety, or personal holiness. The heart of Methodism during the life of John Wesley was the Methodist class meeting. This was a small covenant discipleship support group where members were accountable to each other. They confessed their faults one to another, prayed for one another, and stirred up one another to love and good works. Here, the teachings of the Bible were examined in light of actual personal experience. During this worship series, we will also be focusing on hymns from Charles Wesley, who was John's brother. All right, the words of our theme song for this series are from a short saying that has been attributed to John Wesley called The Rule of Life. Will you please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing our theme song, Rule of Life, and it will be displayed up on the screen.
Good morning. My name is Joyce Flynn, and I am your liturgist this morning. Our call to worship is a covenant prayer by John Wesley. Please remain standing as you are able and join me in the words displayed on the screen. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy and others are difficult. Some bring honor, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and temporal interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is assuredly given us in Christ, who does strengthen us. Therefore, let us make the covenant of God our own. Engage yourself to God. Resolve to be faithful. Having engaged your heart to God, resolve not in your own strength, nor in the power of your own resolutions, but in God's might, never to go back. Amen. Grace abounds. Grace-filled people surround you. Take a moment and share the love of Christ with each other with a handshake, a fist bump, or a high five. When you hear the music, that's your sign that it's time to return to your seats as the children come forward. Good to see you.
Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable? Everyone, how are you today? Good. I'm glad to see you. So I thought that we might talk about one way that children can play a part in this, the means of grace, as John Wesley called them, and that is with studying the scriptures. How many of you have ever gone to Sunday school? Has anyone ever gone to Sunday school? All right, a few of you. Has anyone ever gone to vacation Bible school? A few of you, one of you has, all right. So this is one way in which Sunday school and vacation Bible school, this is one way in which the church is able to talk with kids about Scripture and have a good time doing it. So today is our first day of vacation Bible school. What time does it start? 6 o'clock. Oh, they all knew. They all knew, Morgan, all of them. They said six in unison at 6 o'clock today. So I'm hoping that all of you can be there so that we can study the scriptures and learn a Bible story. I know we're going to have a Bible story with a video. We're going to have some song and dance. And today I am filling in and I will be doing the craft area. So I'm excited about that. So, all right, so who is thinking about going to vacation Bible school, I'm wondering? Most of you. Awesome. Wonderful. All right. Great. So I'm hoping that we can talk to parents if they have any questions, but you are all very welcome to come to Vacation Bible School if you are school age, I should say. Will you pray with me? All right. Loving God, we are so grateful for children. Be with them as they learn more and more about you. I know that in their homes they learn about you, and I am grateful and we are grateful for that. But let them also be a part of our church so that our church can talk with them about prayer and scriptures and all the other means of grace. I pray this in your many names. Amen. So today we actually have a baptism. And if you want to stay here and watch the baptism, that's okay. If you want to go back and sit with your families that brought you, you can do that as well. So what would you like to do? You're going to stay and watch? Or are you going to go stay and watch? All right, great. So I am very, 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 very honored and excited that I will be baptizing Mary Slack Nolan and Brock Nolan. Super excited. And if anyone doesn't know who Mary is, she's the one, when you call, she usually answers the phone here. She is our office coordinator. Come on up. We're going to have you come over here. Brock, why don't you come down, because we want you to stand over here. I'm going to put this down. Barb, come on over. Can you grab the certificates? All right. So just so I don't forget, I'm going to tell everyone, so if I forget, one of you can remind us. I need two witnesses to sign the baptismal font that it actually happened today, or the baptismal certificate that it actually happened today, okay? Hey, Sammy, can you do me a favor and come sit, like, can you guys scoot over a little bit? And Sammy, you come over here. Thank you. We're just going to get organized a little bit, and I'm going to have you guys stand that away, push back a little. Sorry, everybody, while we get organized. And yeah, why don't you go over on the other side of the baptismal font? All right, we're doing good. We're organized. All right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. I'm going to put this right here. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. On behalf of the whole church, I'm asking Brock and Mary this question, okay? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? So say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in unison with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will. And to all of you sitting out there, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you into your care? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. declare his work. Pour out your, oh, here we go. This is the water part. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised in Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through the Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Here we go. Who's going first? Okay. So, how? Come on over, yeah. Come on over here, Barb, sorry. We're going to do the water first and then we'll lay hands, okay? All right. Mary, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so Barb and I are going to lay hands on you. And Brock, you can too if you want to pray with Mom. The Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay, and Brock, your turn. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And let's lay hands on Brock. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our newly baptized. Incorporated in the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share Christ's royal priesthood. We are one in with joy and thanksgiving. We welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Yay! Welcome. Let us welcome the newest members of our family. Welcome Mary and Brock. So exciting. So glad you guys are here and you did this. This is wonderful. Such a special moment for all of us. It really is. You're welcome.
And now we enter a time of prayer. If someone or something is on your heart today and you would like your prayer read as a part of worship, please pass your prayer slip to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Feel free to choose to be a singer or a listener as we continue our prayer time singing a Charles Wesley hymn, Jesus United by Thy Grace, number 561 in your hymnal and displayed on the screen. Dennis will play it through first one time for us. Be a time to talk about events and that are happening in the church and how they build our faith community.
So first I'd like to announce that the Women's Guild, which is a great organization for our women, will meet Wednesday at 1:30 at Rita Soufflaris' house, and she'd really like it if everyone could come. They've got a lot of work to do, and she would like you to come prepared to discuss some new ideas. Second, on August 24th, we'll be having an ice cream social, and while that may sound like just like fun, it is fun, but it's also a great time to be in community with your fellow congregation members. Also, we'll be marching in the Pride Parade at the New York State Fair, and we encourage everyone to come and support all of our LGBTQ fellow parishioners and community members. What else was there? Oh, Vacation Bible School. This one's just for the kids. Sorry, I should know about this one. So all you kids, come out tonight at 6 o'clock. We hope to see you there. It's a great time to build your faith journey and commune with your fellow kids. Yeah.
Thank you, Katie. So one of the things I learned at one of the church I visited was, okay, we have something else? It's Sunday the 26th. So the ice cream social is Sunday the 26th. Okay. So the reason that I saw this at a church where instead of just having announcements, we pray about these ministries because these four things named are so important to the ministry and vitality of our church. So we have moved these important ministries into a time of prayer. So let's be praying about these things. In addition, we have some prayers of our community to pray about. Let us be in a spirit of prayer as we hold these prayer requests and ministries in our hearts. Almighty God, who hast given us grace with one accord, and who promises that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou will grant their requests. Fulfill the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most beneficial for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We will now have a period of silent prayer, followed by a short spoken prayer, and finally, the Lord's Prayer. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. As we begin a time of silent prayer, get comfortable in your seat. Just breathe and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Creator God, as we come together in prayer, we give thanks for your many blessings, our rich plant life, the clean water that is so plentiful here, the sun and the rain. We appreciate the abundance that many of us enjoy each day and recognize your call to share our bounty with others. We pray for those who are suffering in the aftermath of monsoons, wildfires, and other natural disasters. Be with them as they struggle through the loss of family and home. Keep us mindful of the prejudice and injustices visited upon so many of your people because of cultural, racial, gender, religious, or economic differences. We listen and look for your presence everywhere we are and in everything we do so that we are continually reminded of how we can take action in ways big and small to help break down those barriers and correct the injustices with our words and our work and our caring. Help us work with you and through you to bring about a just and peaceful world. In your name we pray. Amen. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today your daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God builds God's kingdom with and through us. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing another Charles Wesley hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, number 479 in the hymnal and is displayed on the screen. And once again, Dennis will play it through one time for us first. Be seated. Today's scripture is the well-known story of the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 28 through 32. I'm reading from the King James Bible translation that John Wesley would have read. If you'd like to follow along or read further, you can find it on page 106 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. This is how the story starts. The younger son asks his father for his share of his inheritance, takes it, leaves town, and wastes his inheritance partying. After trying to get by on a minimum wage job, he decides to head home and offer to live just as a servant on his father's farm. As soon as his father sees him, he embraces his son and decides to throw a party to celebrate his son's return. We pick up the story where the older son finds out about the party. Hear these words. He, the older son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this by thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. So I just wanted to share with our visitors that I traveled to England for a couple of weeks for continuing education. And so therefore we're going a little retro on our King James Version. We don't usually read from King James, and a lot of our prayers are Wesleyan prayers, so just know that we don't always speak in Old English in our church. So, but I think it's fun and important for us to also go back to our roots every once in a while as a great reminder. So today's theme is personal holiness. This morning we'll talk about personal holiness through a quote found on umc.org. We'll reflect on our scripture from Luke, and then we'll look at my time at a church in Didsbury, England, about a month ago now, as an example of how this is being lived out. And finally, we'll continue to ask, why Wesley? So let's start with the quote. Methodism started as a movement to inspire and train disciples for Christian living and to spread scriptural holiness across the land. John Wesley, our founder, taught that Christian living was to practice the means of grace, and that scriptural holiness was the combination of personal holiness, or a transformation of the heart, and social holiness, a transformation of the world. So let's break this down a little bit. First of all, transformation of the heart. Just like the Tin Man, his heart was transformed. The means of grace. Some of the means of grace are the ways in which we open up our experience with God. It might be through prayer. It might be through studying the scriptures. And it's not moving. There we go. Studying scriptures, Holy Communion, fasting, and Christian conferencing, or a small group. Those are all means of grace, ways in which we open ourselves up to experience God. Wesley took this so seriously that off of his bedroom, he had a prayer room. It was about as big as a walk-in closet today. I took this picture. It was amazing that now we store our stuff in a big closet. But John Wesley saved that space for a Bible and for prayer. And so the next slide. There we go. This is a picture of a closer-up of the Bible and the table that was in there. Okay. And then this is his backwards chair. So you see that chair, that not the one close up front, but the one that's a little further back. It's like a T in the back. So this chair actually is so that you can sit forward like normal people sit in a chair, or you can turn around and put your legs like around each side of that middle part, and you can read either way, study the scriptures either way. Scriptural holiness was the combination of personal holiness, a transformation of heart, and social holiness. So let's reflect on our scripture from the prodigal son and see how it can relate to today. This is one of my extremely favorite scriptures, the prodigal son. And so we kind of went over it. Oops, sorry. Okay, we didn't get that one. So the prodigal son, so Joyce just told it to you, but I'm going to tell you my version of it a little bit. So there's two sons, and there's a father, and the younger son says, hey, I want out of this place. I want my inheritance now, and I'm going to take off. And so he takes his, the dad says, okay, go ahead, takes his money, and he goes and does his thing out in the world. The older son stays and works and does whatever the father asks him to do on the land and in the farm. The younger son, of course, well, who can relate to being the younger son? Is there anyone who wanted to go out into the world and experience things on their own and figure it out? Oh, no, you guys are, I don't believe whose hands aren't going up. There's got to be more hands out there. And so the younger son goes out into the world, and he finds that this money doesn't last. He doesn't spend it well, et cetera, et cetera. He tries to, you know, work, but it didn't work out. And he knew his father treated people, the farm workers and servants, well. So he finally says, you know what, I'm going to go back to my father's house with my tail between my legs, and I'm going to ask to be a servant in my father's house. So he goes back to his father's house, and the scripture I read, I like to look at different translations, and the translation I read last night said, the father saw the son way off. So it wasn't like the son knocked on the door. It was like the father was looking for the son every day, looking. Is my son coming home today? Is my son coming home today? He sees him way out there, and the father runs to greet his son, hugs and kisses him and says, let's have a party because you're back. So they have a party. And the older son, who's been there all along, isn't very happy, and that's what Joyce read. That older son is like, are you kidding me? I've been here working with you all this time, and I've never had a party. And the father says, today you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours. But your brother, my son, was lost for dead. He could have been dead. And now he's found. I love this. What if that's what it's like with us and God? God is looking for us way out there, waiting every day, day in, day out, watching for us to come to God. What if? How are we as a church universal welcoming home people? Welcoming home God's child, God's children. I'd like to show you a couple examples of what I discovered in Didsbury, England, which is a suburb of Manchester. So this church really struck me. It's called Emmanuel, because it kind of reminded me of this church, both the people in it, but also the physical structure. So let's check this out. You see the high ceilings and the wood? Doesn't that look like our ceiling? And then there's a stained glass windows all across the sides and in the back. And so what they've done is they have actually moved their focal point from the end of the rectangle to the side of the rectangle. And here you'll see it here. See, they've moved it here. And it wasn't totally set up yet, so they didn't have their candles and stuff burning yet. But that I took the picture because I thought it was really, really interesting. And this is their new mission at Emmanuel Church. Oh, not that one. We'll get there. Nope. It is this one. So as I said, we had a little interesting snafu this morning, so forgive us for not having our slides just right. Do you see what that wood says? What does it say on there? Belonging, believing, becoming. So how does one feel they belong or even belong to the church? I bet the younger son felt he belonged when his father greeted him with a hug and a kiss and a party. Emmanuel Church has this on the outside of their door. Can you read that? Welcome home. They have a cafe. Their cafe is, you can see, attached right to the building. And it's open 5 to 7 days a week to the public.
Many individuals and families and groups are regular attenders to the cafe. They feel they belong to the church cafe. In addition, the congregation built another building on their property to create more large group meeting space for the community. They have 30 outside groups that meet regularly in their church. They feel they belong to the church. So this is something that I'm wrestling with, and I'm hoping you'll wrestle with me on this. So do they belong, even if they do not attend worship? It seems that people feel they belong, and the church is standing kind of like that father in our scripture, with their arms wide open, ready to give them a hug and a party. They're welcoming them. They feel they belong. Even if they aren't quite ready to attend worship, the congregation is ready when they do attend worship to give them a hug and a kiss and a party. What if it's our job as the church to be that father, ready to welcome all of God's children? All the children who have gone and come back, all the sinners, all the people who thought they didn't belong. What if it's our job to be saying, welcome home? You were lost, but now you are found. What if folks outside the church think we are more like the older son? And what if it's our job to shift these thoughts through our actions of both personal holiness, opening ourselves up to the experience of God, and social holiness, reaching out? We've talked about personal holiness with our quote from umc.org. We've reflected on our scripture and explored one example from my class. We are left with only one thing. Why Wesley? It seems John Wesley led by example in following Jesus through prayer, through studying scriptures, and through compassion to others. Wesley was not perfect, but gave a wonderful formula of experiencing God's love and sharing God's love through everyday living. And our offertory today may touch your heart and remind all of us that we are to choose love over and over and over. Amen.
Committed persons have been worshiping here in this congregation for 150 years. You are now part of that tradition. Our response to God's infinitely gracious, generous grace can be no less than our own generosity. If you are a first-time visitor, we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. Don't forget to put your attendance slips that look like this in the offering plate if you have not already submitted them with a prayer request, and the ushers will collect the offering as we are blessed with music. Imagine God's love infusing everything you do. Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication in the words of Susanna Wesley, John's mother. These words were embroidered on her apron. Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or closet, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere I am in thy presence, so may my every word and action have a moral content. May all the happenings of my life prove useful to me. May all things instruct me and afford me an opportunity of exercising some virtue and daily learning and growing toward thy likeness. Amen. Now please remain standing and join me in singing Charles Wesley's hymn, Come, Let Us Use the Grace Divine, number 606 in the pew hymnal and is displayed on the screen. And once again, Dennis will play it through for us one time first.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.